Okay. So I was asking myself, where do I go? And being a mid-expo dispensationalist in my way, I believe or I train or I study. You know, when I think of training or studying, I think it's training the mind just like I train the body, you know. Sometimes not so good, sometimes very good. But, you know, this is training for us. This is training for us to go out and be within the will of God, not outside of the will of God. So we need to understand exactly what He's telling us to do in this time and this place. And being that, we really need to understand Pauline doctrine, because Pauline doctrine is the doctrine for the age of grace, which we are in. So this is, I consider Ephesians the master class on Pauline doctrine. Roman was the introductory class. Then Ephesians is the master class. So we'll jump off into it this morning, and we'll see how, where we get to. It says, in Ephesians 1:1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. You know, a really good preacher could stop right there and TV a whole 45-minute sermon on that. But there's so many things. Paul, who is Paul? Well, we know Paul as being the former zealot for the law named Saul, and on the road to Damascus, he had an impromptu meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he discovered that the God that he was persecuting was the God that he should be serving. In fact, he thought he was actually serving that God. In fact, he was persecuting the people of that God. And whenever he understood that he was working contrary to God's plans, he believed in the final finished work of the cross, and he turned from this zealot or this man on fire for the law to this man on fire for the grace message. And it was a special message given to Paul for us. They call it the mystery, or the Bible calls it the mystery. And we'll get a little bit into that a little later on, because we need to understand what they're talking about when they say mystery. But Paul, he was a special person in a special time, called out by God to do a special job. Don't put him on a pedestal any better than others. In fact, he calls himself the chief of sinners. That's what he thinks of himself. So we shouldn't hold Paul on any kind of pedestal, that he's this grace person that we should be celebrating as who he is. But we need to celebrate how God used him in the furtherance of the grace message. So, Paul, an apostle to Jesus Christ by the will of God. When it says the will of God, that means that Paul's not doing this of his own will. He was called by God to do this. It's God's will that he was stepping out to do this. So, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will. I'm going to do one more thing, apostle thing now. There's a lot of people, and I've heard this, that think that Paul was the 12th apostle. And you've heard that, right? Anybody ever heard that teaching? He was the 12th apostle. The 12th apostle. That instead of Matthias, it should have been Paul. But in Scripture, there were certain things that had to be done when it was the 12th apostle. The 12th apostle had to be with the Lord Jesus during his earthly ministry. Paul didn't meet that criteria. So there were certain things that had to be done. So don't think that Paul is the 12th apostle. Paul is an apostle called outside of time, in a different time for a different message. Okay? So, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. To the saints who are at Ephesus. That means the believers, right? Do we ever think of ourselves in our daily things? It's kind of hard to think of myself as a saint. I know myself too well to think I'm saintly. I'm not saintly in what I do, what I think. There's always bad things floating around in my mind. Y'all don't want to be deviling around in my mind. Okay? But we are positionally saintly. God looks at us. When he looks at us, he doesn't see us. He sees the Lord Jesus. Okay? Whenever he died on that cross, he took our death, so we owe him our lives. Okay, we'll never do that perfectly because we're not perfect beings. But as we give ourselves over to him and give ourselves over to the word and understanding, we will endeavor to live, to be a brighter beacon, hopefully to draw more people to Christ. So, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. These are people that are working toward the will of God. They're faithful in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. Well, Paul starts a lot of his stuff off with grace and peace, don't he? And you know, when we talk about grace, what are we talking about when we say grace is? What is grace? Anybody got a good definition for it? Unmerited favor. Anybody else? That's actually a pretty good definition of it. It's grace is favor by God that we don't deserve. By God's grace, we are saved. We don't deserve salvation, but by his love, he sent his son to die on a cross so that he bought our salvation for us through the finished work of the cross. We receive that grace by faith in the finished work of the cross. Okay? And peace. What is peace? Well, if you're not for God, you're against God. When God comes back and he has the great white throne judgment of God, would there be any fence setters? You know, there's always somebody sitting on the fence saying, well, you know, I can see this and I can see this, and never wanting to take a step in either camp, right? Understand, either you're for God or you're against God, okay? Either you have peace with God or you have enmity with God. There is no middle road that you can stand on. Now, can that person that enmity with God ever, at any particular moment, find that peace? Yes, he can find that peace with belief through the Lord Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross through the grace message. And now he moves from the enmity to God, the fighting with God, over to the peace with God. Isn't that amazing? So grace and peace in our Father, a God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, blessed be the God our Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. So, I'm going to switch on my King James. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Does it say that he will? It's past tense, right? We already have the spiritual. We already have all the spiritual blessings. Do we not? We don't use them all. We don't appropriate them all, but we have them. It's past tense. He has already blessed with all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So right now, it's like the spiritual blessings are in this heavenly place just waiting for us. We've already been blessed with them, ladies and gentlemen. We're positionally already saved. So we walk through this life, and we're not perfect, are we? Do we deserve all these heavenly blessings? If you really think by your walk you deserve the heavenly blessings, you're in trouble. We are positionally already blessed with these sort of things. It says, according as he hath chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. So, if one of our friends were here, we would have issues with the next verses coming up. It says, according as he hath chosen us. So, he had chosen us, it says, before the foundations of the world. In other words, before anything was spoken into existence, God had already chosen us that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And it goes on to say, having predestined us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, when you see this word predestined, what does it kind of bring to your mind? But there's other people that says that God would take, God takes and he says, well, He has a checklist. And He says, well, some people would be saved and some people won't be. That's what they say. And I find that hard to believe because I believe that God wishes all men to be saved and wishes all men to come to the full knowledge of who Jesus Christ was and what He did. That's my true belief. So how do we take Him, how do we work around this predestination argument for how do we work around the predestination argument that comes from the our fellow people? There you go. And it's simple. God already knew what was going to happen. And simply because God knew what was going to happen beforehand, does that mean He caused it to happen? If God, and let's just take this, I don't want to get in trouble with this, but let's just take this. If God set certain people up to fail, would he not be responsible for the failure? So, but truly, He is God, and He can do whatever He wants to do. But where's the love in that? But where's the love in some God that sets somebody up for failure? And there's no love there, right? But we know we have a loving God, right? So we have to fall back on the idea that God knew what was going to happen. And I was actually looked at Scofield because I like Scofield. He's a pretty good guy. And I kind of looked back into this. Let me see if I can get to where the... There. I think I'm going to go to the right place. Okay, yeah. And with Scofield, I kind of look at this preordained thing or foreordained thing, okay? And Scofield put it this way, and this is, it helped me wrap my mind around it. It says, the divine order is foreknowledge, election, predestination. Okay? And it says, God determined the election or choice is clear in Peter 1:2. He had foreknowledge. If you look at Peter 1:2, 1 Peter 1:2, it says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit into the unto obedience and the sprinkling of blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So we understand that God had the foreknowledge, right? And predestination is bringing to pass the election. Election looks back on foreknowledge. Predestination looks forward onto destiny. Okay? So God had this foreknowledge of exactly who I am. Okay? And He knew that at a particular time that I was going to believe in the finished work of the cross. And the minute I believed in the finished work of the cross, I instantly moved from outside of the family of God to the inside of the family of God, okay? That second you believe, you're instantly transmuted into the family of God, okay? Now, all this stuff that when it talks about the elect, we're elected to do the work that we do coming out of our belief, okay? The salvation. And I can't say it as good as some other people. I don't have the big words. I don't have all the thing. But understand that election's never there for salvation. You're never elected under salvation. Whenever it talks about election, you're elected toward the works after salvation. And that's what you're called. That's your predestined. You know what? If we had nothing to do after salvation, what good would it be for God to leave us here on earth? If we had nothing to do after we were saved, what is the reason for God leaving us here? We have a job to do. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're supposed to go out and proclaim who He is. People are supposed to see the changes that He's making and the Holy Spirit's making within our lives. And they're supposed to say, I want some of that. Whatever you got, I want some of that. And sometimes we don't live up to that billing, do we? You know, who has ever heard it saw a good movie coming out? Yeah, it's a great movie. Everybody go see it. You go see it and you get done. It's like, wah, wah. It's like, that wasn't much at all. Boy, the billing was good, but we're called to do great things. But we're called to do great things through our belief and through our faith. And that's our predestination. And I hope I've made that as clear as mud for y'all. So, where was I at? Am I right in the right place yet? No, I'm not in the right place yet. Well, I am right. No, I'm not in the right place. I got to get back to where I was. Okay. 4. According to, as He had chosen us before Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. In other words, God loved us so much, it was His good pleasure to send the Lord Jesus Christ to die on that cross so that we might believe and be put into the family of God. Do we even deserve any of that? No, we don't deserve that. I know I don't deserve that. I think anybody that looks deep into their own soul knows that they don't deserve it. But by His love, that's the reason why He did it. And again, I go to that loving God. Where is the loving God that we're talking about that will stand without Him, without blame, before Him in love? Where's this loving God if, according to some of our brethren that we consider misguided, that they think that God puts His finger on somebody and says, you'll be saved, you won't be saved, you will be saved, you won't be saved. Where's that love? It's not there. Having predestined us to adoption as children by Christ Jesus to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. To the praise and glory of His grace, this unmerited favor, this grace that was earned on the cross, the bill that was paid for on the cross, that sin debt that we could not pay because we were not perfect, was paid for by us, for us, by the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross. And God has made us acceptable through the finished work on the cross simply by believing in the grace message. Isn't this awesome? It goes on to say, in whom we have redemption through the blood, in other words, through the finished work of the cross, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. His unmerited favor toward us that was purchased on the cross. Through the blood, when it says, in whom the redemption through the blood, in other words, there had to be a death paid, there had to be a price paid. That's where the redemption comes through. Through the blood of Christ, the forgiveness of sins, in other words, the stuff that we have done is forgiven through the work of the atonement of the cross. according to the richness of His grace, His unmerited favor toward us. Wherein we hath abound, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. The wisdom, you see, I'll go back to my other one. It says, which He has lavished upon us with all wisdom and insight. In other words, He lavished all this grace upon us. He gave all this in wisdom and in His own insight. It's not easily understood of by us normal people. It says, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. Okay, let's get over to this whole mystery thing. What's this mystery thing? What is the mystery? How does, when you hear, see mystery, when we think of mystery, what do we think of? But when we think of the word mystery, and what's our definition of the word mystery? Something that's unknown, right? Something that's out there to be discovered. The word mystery in the Bible, when you see the word mystery, understand it says back in Romans 16:5, it says, or 16:25, it says, now to Him that has the power to establish you according to My gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. So this mystery was something that was kept secret since the world began. And we see at this particular time, at the end of Romans, God through Paul is saying that it is the power to establish to according to My gospel. When you say My gospel, you're talking about the grace message. This is the gospel that was given to Paul. Okay, the grace message that was given to him to go out to the full Gentile world. Okay, and now it says the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Now, if we go on to Romans 16:26, it says, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. This mystery message is now made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets. This mystery that when you talk about this mystery, it's something that was hidden throughout the Bible. And it was hidden by God for a reason. My reason, understand, is that it says earlier, if they had known who Jesus Christ was, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And if Jesus Christ had not been crucified, where would we be? What does Paul say? We would still be dead in our trespasses and sins. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ had to happen. It was planned before the foundation of the world. God had this plan to save us before we were ever born. He knew exactly how much trouble we were going to be, and He did it anyway. Really? Who here would have done that? This mystery was hidden. That's the reason why we look back and we say, oh, I see it. I see it back here. But it was hidden by God until the appropriate messenger was brought on scene for God to reveal it. And when Paul revealed it, when he revealed the grace message to Paul, that's the mystery that God revealed. And Paul, you notice that Paul, when he went to the new places, where'd he go? Where'd he go when he first went into a city? He went to the synagogue. Why? Well, he was a Jew of the Jews. He could walk the walk and talk the talk. But he also understood that he could reason with the Jews through the Old Testament and show where Jesus Christ was through the Old Testament, because it was no longer hidden. The mystery had become visible at that particular time through his teaching. They were out loud into an outside porch area, and they could hear everything that was going on, but they couldn't be participating. They were usually proselytes wanting to become Jews. And there was ways for you to become a Jew. I would have to go and do studies and all that other stuff. And I know there's ways to become a Jew back then. And there were people that did it to put themselves under the law. But that's a whole other study, and I'm not trying to get down that rabbit hole. I'm trying to stay on my time this morning. So having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. He did not counsel anybody else about this, did he? He purposed within himself that I was going to do this. He did not come to Satan and say, hey, what do you think about this plan, buddy? God doesn't counsel with anybody else. He doesn't need to. God is God. He's going to say, having purposed in himself that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ Jesus, both in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So in the dispensation of the fullness of time, that's a dispensation that's to come. Whenever God gathers together everything that's in the earth, everything that's in the heaven, and I'm not even going to try and go deep into that subject because I don't think I'm worthy at this particular time to delve off in this deepness. But there will come a time in the fullness of time, he's going to gather together everything in one. Okay? There's nothing that's going to be left out there. So it says, in the dispensation of fullness of time, he might gather together all things in Christ, both of which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In whom we also have obtained an inheritance. Now, we have obtained an inheritance. Who obtains an inheritance? Relatives, usually children. So, this is this thing saying that you are the child. You have now moved into the family of God. You have an inheritance. We have obtained this inheritance already, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh in all things to the counsel in his own will. In other words, we've attained an inheritance. We have been, it's predestined for us to, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things in his own will. In other words, God, it doesn't come out of anything but what God does. God doesn't counsel with anybody else. He goes toward his own will. God is God, and he doesn't need our recommendations or directions, does he? That we should be the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. That we should be the praise of his glory. Sometimes I don't feel like the praise of his glory. Do y'all really feel like that sometimes? There are times when I feel like the dung on the bottom of somebody's shoe. Not the praise of anybody's glory. But there's times when I think maybe God reached down and say, thank you. Good job, Terry. I hope he does that every once in a while. So we're saying that this, and I'm glad you say this. So basically we're saying that this draws back into the last verse. So basically, and Mike made the, I'm doing this for this. Yeah. So Mike made the comment that he's expanded on what he said originally, and it should be read together. Let me read that together. It says, in whom we should we have obtained the inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ Jesus. That is what we're predestined to be. That's not what we are at this particular point, son. So, in whom ye also, and now he goes, so he's got to change it, in whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Boy, there's a whole lot of stuff there, and let's unpack that for a second. It says, in whom ye also trusted. Who do we also trust in? We trusted in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We trusted in that work. Now, it says, in whom ye are also trusted, after ye had heard the word of truth. In other words, the gospel had been spoken to you. When you heard that, you believed. Okay? In the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the finished work of the cross, in whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Whenever we heard the gospel, there had to be a quickening. We had to believe what it said, right? How many people out there hear the gospel and turn a blind eye toward it? The majority of the people. Because he says, narrow is that anyway. There is a gate, you know, small is a gate. Well, we know the thing, but understand, it's very few people. We're going to look back on this and we're going to say, you know, it's very small. But we have to believe. Now, let me ask you a question. If you are predestined, like some of our brethren would say up on top, that God has put his finger on you, and that you are going to be saved, and you're not going to be saved, and you're going to be saved, and you're not going to be saved, why do they need this verse? What is the use of it? God is not an author of confusion, right? He's not going to give us a verse that's just going to confuse us. So we have to understand what he's trying to do here. So in this verse he says, in whom ye have trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, and then he expounds on exactly what that word of truth was. That word of truth you heard was the gospel of your salvation. Then you had to take another step. You had to believe this gospel of your salvation. And if you believe in the gospel of your salvation, if you have believed in that, then you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In other words, when you believe that, God reached, he put you in a food saver bag, he put it on the machine, and he sucked all the air out of it so you couldn't get it freeze or burn. You are protected at this particular time. There is nothing that's going to take you away from God. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. What's the purchased possession? When Christ went on the cross and paid the price, who did he buy? What did he buy? He bought us. And at one day, the redemption will happen, whether it be that he comes down and we meet him in the air, or that we go to be with him. We are positionally redeemed. We're going to be physically redeemed at that particular time. Unto the praise of his glory, not ours. We don't get any glory out of it. There's no glory left for us. All the works we do outside of Christ is like dirty rags. And if you you really look into what that dirty rags did, it's not a very nice picture. Okay? Which is the earnest inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory, not ours. We have no glory in it. It says, wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention you in my prayers. Well, that's coming from Paul, right? Paul has heard nothing but good things about these people at Ephesus. He said, you know, he's heard, these guys are on the ball. They're teaching the word the way it should be taught. Hooray for them. Let me pray for y'all. Let me give thanks to God that I have somebody that can walk along me. I don't have to go and do all the work. There are people that have come along. God's moved in on. They're allowing themselves to be used, and God's working in a mighty way. Thank God. Thank you, God, for sending these people to do this work. I make mention here in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Is he asking them to give them physical stuff? Is he asking them to give them, you know, extra monies or people? Or he's asking them to give them knowledge and revelation in the knowledge of Him. To grow in the knowledge of exactly who God is and what He's done. Paul seems to think that the knowledge of God is more important than everything else. Oh, if we thought the knowledge of God was more important than everything else. But we have lives we have to live, right? We have bills we have to pay. Okay, the revelation that God, our Lord, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that ye may know the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the workings of His mighty power. Well, there's a whole lot there, and we don't have much time to get through it today. So I think we may go ahead and stop right here. And we'll move into this next week, because I think if you really have to take 17 through 19 in one big lump sum, and you could actually go all the way down to 21, and it all fits together. But I don't think we're doing justice. I think we need to work through that as a set, and I just don't think 5 or 10 minutes is going to do it. So for anybody that wasn't here when we started, I don't think everybody was here, but I hope not. Miss Ruth has fell. And Miss Jean has fell. I'm sorry. Not Miss Ruth. Miss Ruth's right there. Y'all look alike. Miss Jean has fell twice and is going to the hospital to be seen. Prayers for her. I don't like using the old word, but the lack of youthfulness of some of our people, you know, whenever my father-in-law was 92 years old when he fell and broke his hip, and that was the beginning of the end for him. And, you know, you get to the point sometimes, and I'm not there yet, but I've heard stories of just Miss Mary Lee saying, Lord, just take me home. You know, you get to the point where the body hurts so much, and it's like, I'd rather be in that new glorified body that God's going to give me instead of this one that I'm in right now. And we long, and we should long for that, should we not? Should we not long to be with Him instead of being here on earth? But we don't try to hurry it along very much, do we? Thank God. We shouldn't be hurrying along. We have a job to do while we're here. But let's pray for her, and let's keep her in our prayers. and that God will bring her back strong. And I would ask for Wesley to close this morning.